Welcome to this deep dive
Okay.
into the future of South Korea.
Sounds good.
You've shared some fascinating research with us,
Yep.
and it's clear you're really interested in understanding where this dynamic nation is headed.
I am.
What's especially interesting is that we're not just looking at the usual economic or political predictions.
Yeah.
We're going deeper,
Okay.
exploring trends, potential solutions, and even some thought-provoking questions about what the future holds.
Awesome.
So, one thing that immediately jumped out from this report, so 24.5.104.pdf, is a pretty startling demographic trend. By 2040, South Korea's working age population is projected to shrink by 5 million people. That's like an entire city, size of Chicago, disappearing from the workforce.
I see.
What's your take on the implications of this?
What's a significant challenge? And one that has far-reaching consequences. South Korea already has the fastest aging population globally, and this shrinking workforce will only amplify the existing issues. We're talking about increased healthcare costs, potential strain on the social safety net, and even concerns about maintaining their military strength in a volatile geopolitical landscape.
You mentioned the military,
Yes.
and that's a topic you specifically flagged in your notes as
Yeah.
being particularly interesting to you.
It is.
Given this shrinking population, how can South Korea maintain its military strength,
Yeah.
especially considering the tensions on the Korean Peninsula?
That's a question that a lot of policymakers are grappling with right now. The report highlights that South Korea's military is already dwarfed by North Korea's
Lily.
at only 40% of their size.
Wow.
By 2040, that number is projected to dwindle even further, down to just 360,000 soldiers.
Wow.
It paints a pretty stark picture.
So, what's the plan? Are they just going to accept a weaker military position?
Not exactly.
Okay.
The sources point to a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
Firstly, they're looking at modernization.
Okay.
This involves integrating AI-powered systems, developing advanced technologies, and relying more heavily on a smaller, more professional military force.
Interesting.
Yeah,
So quality over quantity,
right.
using technology to compensate for fewer boots on the ground.
Precisely.
Okay.
And the second part of the strategy involves strengthening military alliances,
Okay.
particularly with the US.
Okay.
They're looking to bolster their collaborative efforts
Right.
and ensure they have the support needed to maintain a strong defense posture.
That makes sense,
Yeah.
given the geopolitical realities of the region.
Right.
This whole situation makes me wonder
Okay.
what's causing this dramatic population decline in the first place.
Right.
It seems like it's at the heart of a lot of these other challenges.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
This demographic shift is a fundamental driver of
Yeah.
many of the issues we're discussing,
Right.
and the sources point to several interconnected factors contributing to it.
Right.
There's a rising trend of singlehood, with more people choosing not to marry.
Wow.
Additionally,
Yeah.
economic pressures are delaying marriage for many,
Right.
and even attitudes towards family size are evolving,
Okay.
moving away from the traditional large families of the past.
It sounds like South Korea is in a kind of transitional phase, grappling with these societal shifts while trying to adapt to the demands of a rapidly changing world.
That's a very apt description. And
Okay.
one of the most significant elements of this change is
Yeah.
the rise of technology, particularly artificial intelligence or AI.
Oh.
It's a topic that's generating a lot of buzz. And the sources you've shared offer a nuanced perspective that goes beyond the typical AI will solve everything narrative.
I'm curious to hear more about that. What's the specific angle that these sources take on AI's role in South Korea's future?
Well, they acknowledge the potential for AI to be a powerful tool for addressing many of the challenges we've discussed.
Okay.
For example, they highlight the potential of AI-driven smart farming to revolutionize agriculture.
Okay.
Imagine using AI to optimize crop yields,
Yeah.
minimize environmental impact, and create a more efficient and sustainable food production system.
That sounds incredible.
It is.
It's like taking traditional farming practices and supercharging them with technology.
Exactly. And the applications go beyond just agriculture.
Okay.
Imagine personalized education, where AI tailors the learning experience to each student's needs and pace,
Right.
or AI-powered infrastructure management,
What?
optimizing traffic flow,
Okay.
reducing congestion. and improving overall safety and efficiency.
Those are some really compelling possibilities.
They are.
It seems like AI could offer some real solutions to some of the pressing challenges we've been discussing.
Yeah.
But are there any downsides to this reliance on AI?
Right.
I remember you specifically highlighted wanting to delve into potential concerns as well.
You're right to be cautious.
Okay.
While the potential benefits of AI are undeniable, the sources also raise important concerns about its ethical implications and potential risks.
Okay.
For instance, they discuss the potential for AI to be misused in the development of bioweapons.
That's a chilling thought.
Yeah.
It's like something straight out of a science fiction thriller.
It might sound like science fiction, but it's a very real concern that experts are grappling with.
Yeah. What can be done to mitigate these risks?
The sources emphasize the importance of proactive measures to ensure AI is developed and used responsibly. They highlight the need for clear guidelines and regulations to govern AI development.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like setting ethical guardrails to steer its trajectory towards beneficial application.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We can't just let this powerful technology develop unchecked.
Right.
We need to ensure it aligns with our values and doesn't lead us down a dangerous path.
Exactly.
Okay.
And another major concern is the potential for AI to facilitate cybercrime.
Right.
AI-powered hacking tools could become more sophisticated and difficult to combat, posing a serious threat to cybersecurity.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Uh-huh.
We need to harness the power of AI.
Mm-hmm.
While also safeguarding against its potential for harm.
Precisely.
Okay.
And that's why these ethical considerations are so important.
Okay.
We need to be having these conversations now before these technologies become even more deeply embedded in our lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were saying that.
Right.
So,
It's a complex landscape to navigate.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's not just about external threats.
Okay.
The sources also highlight the potential for AI to disrupt the job market.
Right.
As AI systems become more capable, there's a concern that they could automate many tasks currently performed by humans.
Okay.
Potentially leading to job displacement across various sectors.
That's a worry I've heard a lot about.
Yeah.
What kind of jobs are we talking about here?
Right.
Are we all going to be replaced by robots?
It's not quite that dramatic.
Okay.
But the concerns are valid.
Yeah.
While AI can create new opportunities, it's crucial to acknowledge the potential for disruption. The types of jobs most susceptible to automation tend to involve routine, repetitive tasks.
So like blue-collar jobs.
Think about manufacturing, data entry, even some aspects of customer service. These are areas where AI and automation are already making inroads.
So it's not necessarily about robots replacing humans.
Right.
But about AI changing the nature of work itself.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
What can be done to prepare for these shifts and ensure that people aren't left behind?
The sources suggest a few key strategies.
Cool.
One is investing in education and retraining programs.
Right.
It's about equipping workers with the skills they need to thrive in a job market increasingly influenced by AI.
Uh-huh.
This might involve learning new technical skills, but it also emphasizes the importance of developing human skills that are harder for machines to replicate.
Human skills?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Right. What exactly does that encompass?
Think about skills like critical thinking, problem solving, creativity, collaboration, and communication.
Right.
These are skills that are highly valued in any industry, but they become even more critical in an age of AI.
So it's about focusing on the things that make us uniquely human, the qualities that set us apart from machines.
Exactly.
I like that approach.
Yeah.
It's about embracing the human element, even in the face of technological advancement.
Precisely.
Okay.
And beyond individual skills, there's also a broader need to think about how we structure our society and economy to adapt to these technological shifts.
Okay.
Some of the reports discuss the concept of a universal basic income,
right,
where everyone receives a guaranteed minimum income, regardless of whether they have a job.
That's a pretty radical idea.
It is.
What's the rationale behind that?
It's a complex issue with a lot of different perspectives.
Okay.
Proponents argue that as automation displaces more jobs, a universal basic income could provide a safety net, ensuring people have a basic standard of living, even if traditional employment becomes less available.
It's definitely something to consider.
It is.
But I imagine there would be a lot of debate and challenges associated with implementing something like that.
Absolutely. It's not a simple solution.
Right.
And there are valid arguments both for and against it.
Yeah.
But it highlights the need to have these conversations and to think creatively about how we can adapt to a future where work might look very different than it does today.
You mentioned that South Korea is facing a shrinking population.
Right.
A rapidly changing technological landscape.
Yeah.
And a complex geopolitical environment.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot to handle.
It is.
What stands out to you as the most pressing issue for South Korea?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
All these challenges are interconnected.
Right.
And addressing one often has implications for the others.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to pick one,
yeah,
I'd say the demographic shift is perhaps the most fundamental.
Yep.
A shrinking population has ripple effects across every aspect of society, from the economy to education to national security.
So the shrinking population is like the foundation upon which all these other challenges are built.
Exactly. And if South Korea can't find a way to address this demographic trend,
right,
it will make tackling these other challenges even more difficult.
Oh, gosh.
But there is hope.
I'm all ears.
Okay.
What kind of hope are we talking about here?
Well, the sources highlight the fact that South Korea has a history of resilience and innovation.
Okay.
It's a nation that has overcome tremendous obstacles in the past, transforming itself from a war-torn country to an economic powerhouse in just a few decades.
Right. I remember reading about their remarkable economic transformation.
Uh-huh.
It's a testament to their determination and adaptability.
Exactly.
Wow.
And those same qualities will be crucial as they navigate these current challenges.
Okay.
And what's encouraging is that there seems to be a growing awareness of the need for proactive measures.
Okay.
The sources point to various initiatives aimed at addressing these issues.
Mm.
There's a growing focus on promoting entrepreneurship and innovation, creating a more supportive environment for startups and small businesses.
Right.
They're investing in research and development.
Okay.
Particularly in areas like AI and biotechnology.
Yeah.
Recognizing that technological advancement is crucial for their future competitiveness.
It sounds like they're taking a multifaceted approach.
Uh-huh.
Trying to address these challenges from different angles.
Precisely.
Okay.
And there's also a growing emphasis on international collaboration.
Right.
They're looking to partner with other countries,
mm-hmm,
particularly in areas like technology and education.
Okay.
Recognizing that global challenges require global solutions.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No nation can truly isolate itself in today's interconnected world.
Right.
We're all in this together.
Uh-huh.
Facing these challenges and searching for solutions.
Exactly.
It's interesting to see how the sources emphasize a global perspective.
Yeah.
They highlight that South Korea isn't just navigating its own domestic issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's also deeply intertwined with the global landscape, particularly the dynamics between the U.S. and China.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The U.S.-China rivalry is a significant factor in shaping the geopolitical environment.
Uh-huh.
And South Korea finds itself in a particularly delicate position.
Oh, wow.
They have a long-standing security alliance with the U.S.
Okay.
And strong economic ties with China.
So it's like walking a tightrope between two superpowers.
It is.
How are they managing this delicate balancing act?
It's definitely a complex situation requiring a lot of strategic maneuvering.
Yeah.
On the one hand, they're looking to maintain and strengthen their security partnership with the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize the importance of that alliance for their defense and stability,
right,
especially given the ongoing tensions with North Korea.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they don't want to alienate China,
right,
which is a major trading partner and a crucial player in regional affairs. So they're trying to find a way to maintain good relations with both superpowers without being forced to choose sides. Exactly.
Wow.
And it's a strategy that requires a lot of diplomatic finesse.
Yeah.
They're trying to carve out a path that allows them to pursue their own interests while navigating the complexities of this great power rivalry.
It sounds like they're trying to thread the needle.
Uh-huh.
Finding that sweet spot where they can maintain good relations with both the U.S. and China without compromising their own strategic autonomy.
Precisely.
Okay.
And this strategic autonomy is a key theme that emerges from the sources.
Mm-hmm.
It's about South Korea's desire to chart its own course,
right,
to make its own decisions without being beholden to any one power.
Wow.
And that involves not just diplomatic maneuvering, but also developing their own technological capabilities.
So investing in research and development, becoming less reliant on foreign technologies?
Exactly.
Okay.
The sources highlight the importance of South Korea building its own independent technological base, particularly in critical areas like AI and semiconductors.
Right.
They see this as essential for ensuring their long-term economic competitiveness and strategic autonomy.
But building that kind of technological independence requires significant investment.
It does.
How are they planning to finance these ambitious plans?
The sources suggest that it will likely involve a combination of public and private investment.
Okay.
They're looking to increase government funding for research and development,
but
they're also encouraging private companies to invest in these areas.
Right.
They recognize that fostering a vibrant ecosystem of innovation requires collaboration between the government, academia, and the private sector.
So it's a collective effort with everyone playing a role in building a more technologically advanced and independent South Korea.
Precisely. And it's not just about technology. They're also focusing on developing their human capital.
Right.
They're investing in education and training.
Okay.
Recognizing that a highly skilled workforce is essential for competing in the global economy.
Mm.
They're also trying to create a more supportive environment for entrepreneurship.
Right.
Encouraging young people to start their own businesses and create new jobs.
It sounds like they're really trying to lay the groundwork for a more sustainable and prosperous future.
They are.
Wow.
And one area where they're making significant strides is in the realm of renewable energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's dive into that.
Sounds good.
I'm curious to hear more about their approach to tackling climate change.
The sources highlight that South Korea, like many other countries, is facing the impacts of climate change.
Right.
They're experiencing more extreme weather events, rising sea levels, and concerns about food security. But they're not just sitting back and waiting for things to get worse. They're taking proactive steps to address these challenges.
What kind of steps are we talking about here? What's their strategy for tackling climate change?
They're taking a multi-pronged approach.
Okay.
Firstly, we're investing heavily in renewable energy.
Right.
They're building large-scale solar and wind farms.
Wow.
Aiming to significantly reduce their reliance on fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
They're also investing in research and development of new energy technologies, exploring things like hydrogen fuel cells and advanced battery storage.
So they're looking to transition to a cleaner, more sustainable energy system.
Exactly.
That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
But what are the economic implications of such a massive shift?
It's definitely a major undertaking, and there are economic challenges to consider.
Yeah.
But the sources suggest that they see this as an opportunity rather than a burden.
Okay.
They believe that investing in clean energy will create new jobs, boost their economy, and position them as a leader in the global clean energy market.
It's a bold vision.
It is.
But it seems like they're committed to making it a reality.
They are.
Wow.
But beyond renewable energy, are there other aspects of their climate change strategy? Absolutely.
Okay.
They're also focusing on energy efficiency.
Right.
They're implementing policies to improve building insulation, promote public transportation, and encourage more sustainable consumption patterns.
Mm.
They're working to reduce energy demand across all sectors of society.
So it's about a holistic approach.
Exactly.
Addressing both supply and demand when it comes to energy.
Right.
And it seems like technology plays a key role in their strategy.
You're right.
Okay.
Technology is a crucial enabler for their climate change efforts.
Uh-huh.
They're using AI to optimize energy grids, develop smarter cities, and even create new materials that can help mitigate the effects of climate change.
It's amazing how AI can be applied to such a wide range of challenges.
It is.
From improving energy efficiency to developing new materials.
It's a testament to the versatility of this technology.
Right.
And it highlights the importance of investing in AI research and development, not just for economic reasons, but also for addressing global challenges like climate change.
It seems like South Korea is really trying to position itself as a leader in the global fight against climate change.
They are.
But all these ambitious plans from technological advancements to tackling climate change rely on a fundamental element, the people.
Yeah.
How are they preparing their citizens for this future?
That's a crucial point.
Okay.
The sources emphasize the importance of education and workforce development.
Right.
They're investing in programs to equip people with the skills they need to thrive in a rapidly changing world. This includes technical skills,
yeah,
but it also emphasizes the importance of what we discussed earlier, those human skills.
Right. Those critical thinking,
right,
problem solving,
yeah,
creativity skills.
Right.
It sounds like they're taking a holistic approach to education,
mm-hmm,
recognizing that it's about more than just technical proficiency.
Exactly. They're trying to foster a culture of lifelong learning.
Right. Encouraging people to adapt and evolve as the world around them changes.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize that education is not just about preparing people for specific jobs, but about empowering them to be active,
okay,
engaged citizens who can contribute to building a better future.
That's a great segue into something I've been wanting to touch on.
Okay.
You flagged a section in one of the reports,
mm-hmm,
that talked about the growing emphasis on human-centered solutions in South Korea.
Right.
What exactly does that mean, and
yeah,
how is it playing out?
It's a fascinating trend.
Okay.
It essentially means that instead of just focusing on technological advancement for its own sake,
mm-hmm,
they're starting to prioritize solutions that put people at the center.
Okay.
They're asking, right, how can technology be used to improve people's lives?
Uh-huh.
How can we ensure that technology serves humanity,
mm-hmm,
rather than the other way around?
Okay.
I'm starting to see how this connects to the emphasis on human skills,
mm,
and creating a more people-focused approach to education.
Exactly.
Right.
It's all interconnected.
Right.
They're recognizing that technology is a tool.
Uh-huh.
And like any tool,
yeah,
it can be used for good or for ill.
Right.
It's about being intentional.
Okay.
About shaping technology to align with our values and to serve human needs.
So it's not just about building the coolest gadgets or developing the most sophisticated AI.
Right.
It's about asking,
yeah,
what kind of world do we want to create?
Uh-huh.
And how can technology help us get there?
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
It's about shifting the focus from technology as an end in itself to technology as a means to an end.
Right.
And that end is a better future for all.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So how is this...
Like,
so,
yeah, yeah. So how is this human-centered approach actually manifesting?
Right. Like, what concrete examples are there of this philosophy in action?
Well, one area where this is particularly evident is in the realm of healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
There's a growing movement towards personalized medicine,
mm-hmm,
leveraging AI and other technologies to tailor treatments to each individual's unique needs.
So moving away from the one-size-fits-all model that's been prevalent for so long.
Right.
That seems like a really promising development.
It is.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond just personalized treatments.
Okay.
They're also exploring ways to use AI to improve diagnostics, to identify diseases earlier, and even to predict potential health risks before they become serious problems.
Right.
It's about using technology to empower patients,
uh-huh,
giving them more control over their own health and well-being.
It's like taking a proactive,
right,
preventative approach to healthcare.
Exactly.
Rather than just reacting to problems after they arise.
Yeah.
I like that shift in thinking.
It's a significant shift, and it aligns perfectly with this human-centered philosophy.
Right.
And this approach isn't limited to healthcare. The sources also point to examples in urban planning,
mm-hmm,
where there's a growing movement towards creating cities that are designed for people, mm, not just for cars.
The whole smart cities concept that I've been hearing so much about.
Exactly.
But it sounds like they're going beyond just incorporating cool technologies.
Right.
They're really thinking about how to make cities more livable and human friendly.
Exactly. Okay. It's about creating walkable neighborhoods,
mm,
integrating green spaces,
right,
promoting public transportation, and really thinking about how people interact with their urban environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making cities that are not just efficient, but also enjoyable,
yeah,
places where people can thrive.
So it's about finding that balance between functionality and livability.
Right.
Using technology to enhance the human experience, that's rather than detract from it.
Exactly.
It's a delicate balance.
It is.
But it seems like on the right track.
They are. And this human-centered approach is even influencing government policy.
Really?
Yeah. There's a growing trend towards more citizen-centric governance.
Yep.
Using technology to improve service delivery,
mm-hmm,
increase transparency,
right,
and make government more responsive to the needs of its people.
So it's like applying this people first mentality to the very way government operates.
Exactly.
It's a pretty radical shift.
It is. It's about moving away from the traditional top-down model of governance and embracing a more collaborative, participatory approach.
Right.
They're experimenting with things like online platforms for citizen engagement, using data analytics to identify and address community needs, and even exploring new forms of digital democracy.
It's really interesting to see how this human-centered philosophy is permeating so many different aspects of South Korean society.
It is.
It seems like it's becoming a core guiding principle.
Right.
Shaping everything from healthcare to urban planning to the way government operates.
It is. And I think it's a testament to their forward-thinking approach. Their recognition that building a better future requires more than just technological innovation.
Right.
It requires a deep understanding of human needs.
Uh-huh.
A commitment to putting people at the center of their endeavors,
right.
and a willingness to use technology as a tool to empower,
right.
not to overpower.
Well said.
Thanks.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Yeah.
You've given us a lot to think about,
mm-hmm.
a comprehensive look at the challenges and opportunities facing South Korea.
Right.
It's been a truly fascinating deep dive.
It has been.
And for those of you listening, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
What are your key takeaways from this exploration?
Mm-hmm.
What surprised you?
Right.
What questions do you still have about the future of South Korea?
Uh-huh.
Share your comments below.
Okay.
And let's keep the conversation going.
Sounds good.
Until next time. Happy exploring.
Okay. Yeah. So how is this human-centered approach actually manifesting?
Right. Like, what concrete examples are there of this philosophy in action?
Well, one area where this is particularly evident is in the realm of healthcare.
Okay.
There's a growing movement towards personalized medicine, leveraging AI and other technologies to tailor treatments to each individual's unique needs.
So moving away from the one-size-fits-all model that's been prevalent for so long.
Right.
That seems like a really promising development.
It is. Yeah. And it goes beyond just personalized treatments.
Okay.
They're also exploring ways to use AI to improve diagnostics, to identify diseases earlier, and even to predict potential health risks before they become serious problems.
Right.
It's about using technology to empower patients,
giving
them more control over their own health and well-being.
It's like taking a proactive, preventative approach to healthcare.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than just reacting to problems after they arise.
Yeah.
I like that shift in thinking.
It's a significant shift, and it aligns perfectly with this human-centered philosophy.
Right.
And this approach isn't limited to healthcare.
Okay.
The sources also point to examples in urban planning, where there's a growing movement towards creating cities that are designed for people,
right.
not just for cars.
Oh,
yeah.
The whole smart cities concept that I've been hearing so much about.
Exactly.
But it sounds like they're going beyond just incorporating cool technologies.
Right.
They're really thinking about how to make cities more livable and human friendly.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about creating walkable neighborhoods, integrating green spaces, promoting public transportation, and really thinking about how people interact with their urban environment. It's about making cities that are not just efficient, but also enjoyable places where people can thrive.
So it's about finding that balance between functionality and livability.
Right.
Using technology to enhance the human experience rather than detract from it.
Sad.
It's a delicate balance.
It is.
But it seems like they're on the right track.
They are.
Okay.
And this human-centered approach is even influencing government policy.
Really?
Yeah, there's a growing trend towards more citizen-centric governance.
Okay.
Using technology to improve service delivery, increase transparency, and make government more responsive to the needs of its people.
Yeah, it's like applying this people-first mentality to the very way government operates.
Exactly.
It's a pretty radical shift, isn't it?
It is. It's about moving away from the traditional top-down model of governance and embracing a more collaborative, participatory approach.
Right.
They're experimenting with things like online platforms for citizen engagement, using data analytics to identify and address community needs, and even exploring new forms of digital democracy.
It's really interesting to see how this human-centered philosophy is permeating so many different aspects of South Korean society. It seems like it's becoming a core guiding principle.
Right.
Shaping everything from healthcare to urban planning to the way government operates.
It is. And I think it's a testament to their forward-thinking approach, their recognition that building a better future requires more than just technological innovation.
Right.
It requires a deep understanding of human needs,
yeah.
a commitment to putting people at the center of their endeavors,
okay.
and a willingness to use technology as a tool to empower,
right.
not to overpower.
Well said.
Thanks.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Yeah.
You've given us a lot to think about.
Mm.
A comprehensive look at the challenges and opportunities facing South Korea. It's been a truly fascinating deep dive.
It has been.
And for those of you listening,
yeah.
we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
What are your key takeaways from this exploration? Mm. What surprised you?
Right.
What questions do you still have about the future of South Korea?
Mm-hmm.
Share your comments below. And let's keep the conversation going.
Sounds good.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Happy exploring.
Okay.